I was born and raised a child, as a child of a rural farmer, and my family was poor. As a child, I once envied my friends from wealthy families. So, from a young age, I had a dream of being successful. I wanted to live better than others. In particular, I wanted to be rich because I hated poverty. So I worked hard to make that dream come true. I had a dream, a vision, and plan. After graduating from college, I dreamed of becoming an architect and did my best to make that dream come true until I truly accepted Jesus as the Lord of my life. Now, I'm living in a life that is completely different from the life that I wanted and dreamed of back then. In that sense, my life is a complete failure so far because I'm not living the life that I wanted and dreamed of at all. In particular, living in the United States was not in my plan at all. 6 years ago, at Discovery Church in Livermore, California, I had never thought I'd met Pastor Curtis and this church just 5 years ago. It is also completely unexpected that I'm preaching in English in front of you now. It's a miracle. Who could have imagined that I would receive so much love from here in the Discovery Church family? I believe that these are all the grace and guidance of God. Now, I'm not living as planned with my dreams in the past, but I'm grateful. I am grateful and happy in this life now because of God's faithful guidance with His perfect plan. What if my dream had come true according to my plan, and if I had lived the way I wanted, I might have been satisfied and proud of myself, but it wouldn't have been the life God wanted. I still have my dreams and plans, and I work hard to make them come true. Sometimes I'm shaken by worldly temptations, but I believe in one important thing: God's plan and His will are always perfect and ahead of mine. It should be, and I hope it must be, because I believe that it is the safest way to follow God's guidance and His direction. I don't dare compare myself to Paul, but looking at Paul's life, it is clear that he's also one of those who had not lived the life they wanted and expected and planned. Paul was actually one of the most promising people at that time. As a Pharisee, he could have enjoyed a living as a religious leader or a politically influential person until he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was more religiously and politically passionate than anyone else. It was unacceptable for him to blaspheme the God he believed in. He was a man who believed strongly in his beliefs and was full of desire for success. That desire became the driving force that binded and destroyed Christians. Paul was one of those people who met Jesus and completely changed their lives. In fact, the conversion of his life was not Paul's own will. It was God's sovereign choice. It grabbed him very strongly, and it was entirely by the grace of God. Saul became Paul. He began to proclaim that the Jesus he so hated and sought to destroy was Christ and Messiah. This was not at all the life Paul had wanted, planned, expected, or intended in the past. Although the book of Acts mainly contains the story of a certain disciples and Paul and Paul's fellow workers, there is no doubt that Acts is the act of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is especially the book of the Holy Spirit. The reference to the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and 2 makes it clear that the entire book of Acts is a story of the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no denying that at the heart of every story in Acts is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. While the first gospel of Luke focuses on Jesus and his work, the second, the book of Acts, emphasizes that after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, his work through the Holy Spirit continues through the disciples. The book of Acts, Christ himself continues his work through the lives of his disciples. The Holy Spirit is the presence of the living Lord Jesus in spiritual power in the lives of man. The Holy Spirit is the means by which Jesus continues to do his work in the world. Thus, when the apostles are recorded in Acts as performing miracles, which are an outworking of their spiritual power, the acts of power are attributed to the name of Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, the book of Acts shows that the Holy Spirit takes the initiative and continues to work. The will of the Holy Spirit, the plan of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. So, the book of Acts is filled with the stories of those who are led by the Holy Spirit. It also contains the story of the failure and destruction of those who rebelled against the Holy Spirit, like Ananias and Sapphira. The story of today's text is the story of Paul and Silas imprisoned in Philippi. Right before they reached Philippi, there was a very important event, which was the vision of the man of Macedonia. The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, did not allow them to go where they wanted to go. So they changed their plan and, by the will of the Holy Spirit, headed to Macedonia. This was not something Paul had planned in advance. Paul met Lydia in Philippi, and she later became his great assistant and one of the leaders of the church. This meeting was not in his plan either. Meeting a slave woman who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, casting the spirit out of her, imprisoned for that. In prison, as they prayed and praised God, a violent earthquake opened the prison's doors and set them free from their chains. Meeting the jailer and his household were saved. The Jews' jealousy and thoughts forced them to move to another city. All of these were out of their plans and completely unexpected. Although Not all things went the way they wanted and planned. No one would ever doubt that everything was all led by the Holy Spirit. Looking at Jesus and his disciples, Paul and his helpers, and churches, we realize that there are many times when we have to endure persecution, bondage, and disadvantages. When we proclaim the gospel in the world and faithfully keep our faith. To live as a faithful Christian in the world, to live according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is to live against the evils and injustice of the world. This kind of life is inevitably uncomfortable in this world. Nevertheless, we believe that this is the safest way, safest path in any circumstance because of the faithful guidance of the Holy Spirit. We may not know it right now, but we should believe that there is a faithful plan and will of God, and that will be completely done. The circumstances of life can sometimes cause us real trouble, but God can work things out for our good in the long term, even if things go badly in the short term. And He is always right there with us, no matter what happens. And His plans are always perfect and faithful. Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned for casting the evil spirit out of the slave woman. But from her point of view, she had a turning point in her life through the power of the name of Jesus, the gospel. She changed the owner, the master of her life, and was set free from the evil spirit. On the other hand, the owners of the woman lost their hope of making money. As a result, Paul and Silas were imprisoned. Then they prayed and praised God through midnight. It is interesting that all the prisoners heard the songs and praises they sang. Then, suddenly, a violent earthquake occurred, and the grounds of the prison were shaken, the doors opened, and the chains of all the prisoners were released. Whether it is visible or invisible, I believe many things happen when you praise God. Do you believe that? So praise invites the presence of God. God dwells close to us when we praise Him. He lives there. He looks for it. It paves the way for God's power to be displayed. Miracles happen. People's lives are affected and changed. God shakes things up through praise. God desires our whole heart. He waits for us to return. He longs for us to know the power of His presence over our lives. He desires to bless us more than we could imagine. His Spirit urges us onward, calling us closer. Praising God gets our focus off ourselves and back on God. Praising God brings us to a place of humility. We could remember our dependence on God as we acknowledge our need for Him. However, praise should never be a means to achieve a certain purpose with any intention. Paul and Silas were never intentionally praising God to get them out of prison or to get out of the situation on purpose. They just prayed and praised God as they usually did. regardless of their circumstances. And they must have believed that this was also one of God's faithful plans for them, based on their past experiences. So that faith must have been a sufficient reason to praise God. So I believe that true praising God is when we decide to praise God no matter what circumstances we have. It is not clear whether all that happened that night when Paul and Silas were praising and praying to God was because of their praises, but it is clear that the Holy Spirit planned a special meeting with the jailer. The jailer had a question. The jailer asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" If your question is profound, you can get a profound answer. If you're not interested in something, you don't ask about it. If you are, you will ask questions and seek answers. The deeper the question, the deeper the answer you are able to get. Isn't the question of salvation the most profound and important question in human life? But many people don't ask this question. They are not interested in salvation. They're not interested in spiritual matters. The jailer's first question was very simple, but the most profound and important. Perhaps he always had a concern about and longing for salvation. What must I do to be saved? This question is about what must be done in order to be saved. That is, what are the essential conditions for salvation? Paul's answer was also very simple, but it was the most profound and important. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Lord is Adonai in Hebrew, meaning the absolute ruler. In Greek, it is kurios, meaning the owner or the master. Greek culture uses the plural kurioi because Greek culture is like a polytheistic, meaning many gods. But the singular kurios is used here because Jesus Christ is the only Lord. The word kurios appears more than 600 times in the New Testament. More than 300 of these appear in Paul's letter and books. In general, Jesus was not known as Kurios until his resurrection. But after he was resurrected, the word Kurios became a great title to call on Jesus. The confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is the Lord, was very important in the early church at the time. In Philippians chapter 2:11, Paul says, "The hour will come when every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." According to Romans chapter 10:9, in the early church, confessing Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in the resurrection were essential conditions for salvation. In other words, Paul answered the jailer, "Accept Jesus as the master of your life. Accept Jesus as the master of your life, the owner of your life, and he will save you and your family will be saved too." That night, amazing things happened. The jailer and his family were baptized and saved. It was a moment when the master of him and his family was completely changed. They were no longer slaves to the world and evil. And Jesus Christ has become their master and their owner and their Lord. When you say Lord, we say Lord. You mean that you are the Lord's servant. If you are not the servant, you don't need to call him Lord. When we accept Jesus as our Lord, we are his servant. Our relationship with Jesus is formed. A servant obeys his master and follows his master's will. Likewise, if we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, we must follow and obey his will. A servant of Jesus is not just a bound slave, but free. It is spiritual freedom. Do you believe that? The slave woman, bound by an evil spirit, was set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ set us free from the power of evil spirit. There is no oppression and bondage that Jesus cannot release. Not only that, Jesus protects and guides us. Amen? We have to ask this question. Who is my master? Whose servant am I? What is driving my life? What motivates my life? The world usually says that I am the master of my life. My life is mine. Your life is yours. So they somehow believe that they have to live the way they want. That's why they work so hard to live the life they want, dream, and plan. But the life without Jesus Christ, no matter how good or successful it may seem, is the life of failure. They are, after all, only slaves to worldly things, and their life will end in emptiness and death. Life without God is never safe. Luke recorded the stories of people who lived in the early church led by the Holy Spirit. He must have believed that they chose the most beautiful life led by the Holy Spirit, even though they lived through suffering, persecution, bondage, and disadvantage in the world for the sake of the gospel of Christ. So Luke testifies that the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, guides their lives and continues to work through them. The greatest blessing to them is that they have been joined in God's great work of salvation. This is grace. This is blessing. Your life will be determined by what drives your life. Who has the initiative in your life? In other words, who is the owner of your life? Who is the master of your life? If you are in control of your life and not God, you must remember that you may be able to live the life you want for a while, but eventually you will be far from the life God wants. If money, honor, power, fame, worldly desires, and greed are still the owners of your life, they will lead you to the path of perdition. When we follow Jesus as our Lord, the master of our life, and we belong to him, our spirits will be guaranteed eternal life and rest, although it may be uncomfortable and difficult in the world for a while. We gather together here today to acknowledge and remember Jesus as our Savior and Lord, the owner of life, the master of our life. Do you believe that? The team will come up here, and the team will lead a song. The song is about Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus is the Lord of all. Do you believe that? We want to give our lives all to the Lord so that Jesus takes control of our lives. May we put our thoughts, plans, and dreams behind us for a moment and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. The Lord has a perfect plan and will for us. Jesus is our Savior and Lord. He is the master of our lives, the owner, the ruler, the king, the guide, the protector, the life, the truth, and everything to us. Amen? Amen. Amen.